Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. Today, I want to talk to you about some results I'm starting to receive from a study that I began this summer up in the Ridge and Valley, which seeks to identify colluvial deposits to improve our estimates of upland hardwood forest site quality in the southern Appalachians. So if you've ever been to the Ridge and Valley, you'll understand why it's named, because the landscape is composed largely of these long, linear, parallel mountains that are separated by these broad limestone valleys. Now, thousands of years ago, when the continents of Africa and North America collided, the geology in this part of the country was lifted up and tilted to diagonal. Over time, differential erosion of these different geologic strata have resulted in these long linear mountains and these really fertile limestone valleys. Now, while the valleys may be quite fertile, just the opposite is occurring on these side slopes. Oftentimes, the geologic parent material rises very close to the surface, and the soils are very rocky, very skeletal, and thin, and as a result, you get oftentimes these xeric to subxeric oak-dominated communities. So if you're talking to any land manager that manages for upland hardwood forest productivity, oftentimes they'll just say, well, tell me where the yellow poplar is, and that's where I'm going to put my money. Well, that's fine, and we do have yellow poplar in the Ridge and Valley and in the typical position and in these cove positions. So as you see, this picture was taken a couple of weeks ago. You see the yellow poplar popping out here in these coves, and they're just terribly rich. The classic cove, high diversity, very good organic matter and feed inputs into the soil, abundant nutrients, and abundant water for forest productivity. Now, down here on this topographic map, it's not hard at all to pull out these topographic landscape positions on the side of these slopes. However, in the Ridge and Valley, yellow poplar also occurs on these linear side slopes outside of the coves, where typically the forest site quality is pretty poor. It's pretty poor to bad. And as you see up here, there's something going on, because here's the yellow poplar popping out, and it's obviously not the result of being in a cove. And furthermore, down here on the topographic map, if you were just trying to analyze and map site quality from topographic features, there's no indication that there would be any difference in site productivity over this long linear side slope, but that's not exactly the case. So then the question becomes, well, just give me a map of the colluvial deposits and we'll be done with it. Well, that would be great if we had good maps to work with all the time, such as this USGS parent material map that depicts colluvial deposits and alluvial deposits in the bottom. However, this picture is very telling for the fact that it demonstrates what we more often have to work with, which are mapping inaccuracies. So the landform that you see here is supposed to be mapped as a colluvial soil, and that's obviously not the case. You see the bedrock goes almost to the surface. On top, we've got a very, very xeric suite of species, Kalmia, Vaccinium, we've got pitch pine and table mountain pine. So because of this, This is what raised the question with me to refine these estimates. So the objective of this overall study is to identify the presence of colluvial soils through species composition and topography to increase our estimates of forest site quality where we don't have good mapping data. Also, there are several counties that aren't on the web soil survey yet, and furthermore, they're hard copy soil surveys are out of date, so these mapping inaccuracies have been extrapolated across the landscape when we've been trying to identify sites of highest forest productivity. The significance of this project is fairly straightforward for the fact that we want to focus our management efforts on the highest quality sites for the greatest return. Now moving into the methods, I took a paired plot approach to answer this research question. So basically, I wanted to place my colluvial plots in areas of known colluvium so that we could extrapolate those results out across the landscape where we had less accurate data. So as you see here, I took a 10 meter digital elevation model that I downloaded from the Seamless server. I was able to pull out the side slopes, overlay those with colluvial and residual soil polygons that I got from the Forest Service. Once those were merged, it resulted in the map you see here. So the blue areas are those of colluvial deposits on the side slopes. on the side slopes. The green areas are residual soils on the side slopes. And then finally, the pink areas are the non-target landforms, which essentially those were the ridge lines, the valley bottoms, or the floodplains and alluvial soils. So this is a little bit larger map of the study area that shows Virginia, the four counties in which the study was located, and these are all 102 plots that I studied, that I measured this summer as part of this study. So I will note that there is a bit of a clustering effect right here. The plot density is a bit higher because that's where I wanted to pull that out at some point, because that's where our most accurate map of colluvial deposits is currently. And furthermore, I was constrained to work on Forest Service land as well. So the New River Valley and most of these large areas that you don't see plots in are private land. Once I navigated to my plot in the field, I took evidence of disturbance, which was gypsy moth, logged, or burned. I measured topography and location variables. I also sampled overstory and understory vegetation. I derived several attributes from my GIS shapefiles, but I want to note that I did calculate three different indices that have been used quite often in forest productivity studies in the Southern Appalachians. McNabb's Terrain Shape Index is a measure of the convexity or concavity of a landform, and his Moisture Regime Index is a novel approach to site productivity by quantifying the species composition in the stand. So essentially, higher site demanding species have higher indices, while something such as pitch pine would have like a half index. You take the average index for that plot based on the species there. Finally, Miner's Forest Site Quality Index is a combination of aspect, slope position, and slope percent that's been highly correlated with upland oak site index. Statistics: I ran logistic regression through SAS, I ran t-test on topography, and I'm currently starting to work on model accuracy through bootstrapping and accuracy assessment. One thing I do want to point out, this is a scheme of my plot. These four subplots represent 1/100th of an acre, and it was in those that I sampled for understory abundance, presence, and density. In the center, I took a basal area plot to capture the overstory, and I also took the diameter of all the entries, and this is where I measured my topography from as well. So as predicted, yellow poplar did come out to be the sole predictor variable out of 25 overstory species and in excess of 100 understory species to predict the logged odds of colluvium. So when you're working with logistic regression, you've got to do a bit of plugging and chugging to make the results make any sense. So if you look down here on table 2, you'll see that the interpretation is that if you, on a side slope in the study area, if you come across a yellow poplar, you have an 87.73% chance of being on a colluvial soil that has higher site productivity. Through the difference, you can figure out the probability for being on a residual soil, which is the only other soil that was studied in this project. So here are the yellow poplar, obviously on a colluvial deposit on a side slope. So after I did this, I wanted to take a look and see if topography by itself added anything to this. Is there a way that in the absence of accurate inventory data or time to go to the field that, you know, you can sit down with a GIS, do a bit of calculation with it, and figure out where you have these colluvial deposits? So to find that out, I ran a t-test on all the topographic variables between colluvium and residuum. And what you see in table 3 are the four that came out to be significantly different. Two of these are generated in a GIS environment. So once I plugged those into a logistic regression to predict colluvium, Terrain Shape Index came out to be the sole predictor variable for that model. So as you see down here, if you're on a side slope in the study area and you encounter a concave landform, there's a 93% chance of being on a colluvial soil. Now you can also, you know, you don't have to be in the field to do this. That was really kind of the gist of me wanting to see if, you know, topography and GIS could add anything to this overall picture. So what I'm doing currently is I'm working on some error analysis of these two models, because yes, it's fine and good that they have such high predictability of these colluvial soils, but how well do these models work time and time again? So I put the R-square up here just because most people are more often used to working with linear regression, where R-square denotes the goodness of fit and the model accuracy. Well, it's not quite that easy in logistic regression because you're predicting a binomial variable, and you get an estimated probability, and the distance between those two you can't necessarily measure and call it error, which that's how they calculate their R-square. So a better way to do this is to basically set up a contingency table that compares the predicted versus the observed colluvium to see what your true positive rate is versus your false positive rate. So what I ran a bootstrap sample, and I did this through a pivot table, and what I found was that the highest accuracy that the yellow poplar model could achieve is 68%. Furthermore, the terrain shape index was a little bit better than a coin toss. So while the terrain shape index results are less than desirable, at least it shows us a place to start where we can start mapping these colluvial soils and higher site productivity. So in conclusion, if there's good inventory data and you've got time to go to the field, then yellow poplar is indeed a good indicator of colluvial soils and higher site productivity. However, if you don't have time to go to the field and you've got a little bit of GIS knowledge, then if you have highly negative TSI values or concave landforms that are popping out on these side slopes, then you've got a fairly good chance of being on colluvial soils and higher site productivity. So with that, I would like to conclude my presentation, and I would like to thank those who have made this.